Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
An Erio's original.
Before we get started, let's just take a hot second to pause and rate, subscribe, and review this podcast. You know, this really helps us get the word out and make more episodes. So if you love it, give us a 5-star review. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it over here.
I was born with a special gift, the ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we discuss history's greatest disasters and figure out who's to blame. In today's episode, we'll be discussing the Alcatraz jailbreak. Now, I actually have been to Alcatraz in my trip to San Francisco. My husband and I took a very romantic trip to the prison, and it was raining, it was cold, it was kind of scary, and we left and promptly went to a bar afterward because it's a weird place. It's a weird place, and you have to take a boat there. It's a whole thing. Anyway, during this trip, they give you a little tour of the cells, and I was, of course, fascinated by this jailbreak and so excited when our guest recommended that we do it. So let's get started. On June 11, 1962, inmates Frank Morris and brothers John and Clarence Anglin escaped from the Alcatraz Federal Penitentiary, a maximum security facility located on an island in San Francisco Bay. The three inmates shimmied through a hole they chiseled through the wall by using a makeshift metal spoon and a drill improvised from the motor of a stolen vacuum cleaner. As they chipped away at the wall, their progress was concealed by false walls, which in the dark recess of the cells fooled the guards. To to mask their escape, they placed in their bunks realistic-looking dummy heads they'd made out of papier-mâché and human hair from the prison barber. With the hole, they gained access to a corridor, which ran behind their cells and reached the top of the prison, climbing three stories. They then ran across the roof and climbed down a pipe. Morris and the Anglin brothers then left the island on a makeshift raft. It remains unknown what happened to them after entering San Francisco Bay. Fun facts, aka death stats. Alcatraz Prison was known as The Rock and was said to be inescapable. As we all know on this podcast, saying that is like begging for someone to escape. The Rock housed some of the country's most notorious criminals, such as Al Capone, George Machine Gun Kelly, and Robert Stroud, the Birdman of Alcatraz. 1,576 inmates did time on The Rock from 1934 until 1963. The escapees spent many weeks constructing an improvised inflatable raft and life vests from more than 50 prison coats, all stolen. Frank Morris was in and out of jail since the age of 13 for charges ranging from armed robbery to narcotics and grand larceny. He was transferred to Alcatraz in January 20, 1960. His IQ was said to be 133, bordering on genius. The Anglin brothers were also nonviolent offenders, just repeat bank robbers who claimed to have used a toy gun just once in one of their holdups. The escape was not discovered until the morning of June 12, 1962, due to the successful dummy head trick. Of the 36 inmates who staged 14 escape attempts over the 29 years that Alcatraz served as a federal prison, 23 were recaptured, 6 were shot and killed, 2 drowned, and 5, 3 being Morris and the Anglins, and the other 2 being Theodore Cole and Ralph Rowe, are listed as missing and presumed drowned. And that's all you need to know about the Alcatraz jailbreak, right? Yeah, right. There's more to talk about, people. And with us today, we have a guest that I'm so excited to talk jailbreak, to talk conspiracy, to talk disaster with, Melissa Stettin, co-host of the Web Crawlers podcast on Erios.
Hello, it's great to be here today.
Now, what I'm definitely not worried about is the amount of anxiety that we have in the room. Am I right?
I need to leave right now. I gotta get out of here. This is intense.
Now, Melissa, you are prone to go down rabbit holes on the internet.
It's a problem.
Now, tell me more about this, because I do the same thing.
Yeah, I feel like our podcasts are very similar and that there are so many details to find out about things that you can't stop.
No.
Once I start, I can't stop. And that's why we created Web Crawlers, because I need something to like talk about all this so I can finally like put it to rest. Like, okay, I got to the bottom of that. I can move on.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's rabbit holes are my life.
Well, tell our listeners about Web Crawlers, because I feel like they will really enjoy this podcast.
Well, it's a podcast about all sorts of unsolved mysteries, hauntings, missing people, all sorts of weird things that happen, true crime, murders.
Yes, they just did one on a killer in Brazil.
TV show host who started killing people to get higher ratings for his live crime show.
Now that's crazy.
Yeah, we just did one about corporate cults as well,
which I loved.
Yeah, I told a story about how I was a Scientologist for a month. I just liked it, you know. I had to know what it was all about. Like, I just gotta why not, right? Everyone's done that, right?
Oh, that's a rabbit hole you went down.
Yeah, dangerously. And I'm alive.
I do the same thing. I have like woken up in the middle of the night with Judy Garland on my mind at like 3 a.m. gone down like a 2-hour Judy Garland rabbit hole. Now that's a tragic figure. We should probably do that one as well.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. But you know, today we're talking Alcatraz.
I love a prison break. I love it.
Now, I don't know much about prisons.
You've never been to prison?
No. Oh. Only as a visitor.
Right.
Only on vacation.
Yeah. I've never been to Alcatraz. I would love to go.
It's cold. It's a cold place.
Cold, like emotionally and physically.
Probably, yes, right. Both. But literally, it's very cold. I find San Francisco to be particularly cold.
They got that wind.
Yeah.
It's the windy city, right? That's what they call it?
Mm-hmm. Is it? Yeah. Or is that Chicago?
That's Chicago. Oh.
Because I'd be like, yeah.
It is cold. They got a cold front.
It's cold. And yeah. They also have like the dew, like it's just always raining.
Oh, get out of here. Frizzy hair.
It's not cute.
No.
And those prisoners, boy, they were not cute. It must have been so cold to be a prisoner in Alcatraz because it's not like they had indoor heating.
No. Right? They don't care about the prisoners.
It's the 30s.
Oh, they didn't have heat back in the 30s.
Did they have heat back in the 30s? Maria?
They had heat back.
Our producer Maria is going to get to the bottom of
I think
when
they had heat. I think they had heat since they've had fire.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. But you're saying there was like a system of chimneys. That
it was probably a fire stove situation.
Yeah, probably some sort of like coal burning maybe or a wood burning.
That would work.
Yeah.
That would all work.
But I'm going to look it up and I'll be right back.
Look, it's safe to say they didn't have a nice HVAC.
No, it was cold.
No, it was freezing. So what these guys were going through
was rough. Yeah, they put all like the worst criminals on the West Coast. They all sent them to Alcatraz.
Exactly. And if you were prone to break out of the other prisons,
you got put in Alcatraz.
Bye bye. And it was smart, right? So Alcatraz like started off as a military prison.
Right.
And they used to put war criminals, I guess, in this prison because it's an obvious place to put them.
Yeah.
There's cold water all around. It's an island.
Yep. Great place. Sounds nice.
They're not
actually going
anywhere.
No.
So it's also like one of those places where you can't build a plumbing system. Like you can't. It's really hard to build on that island.
Oh.
Because it's actual rock.
Oh, right.
It was just a complicated.
Yeah, it's all rock.
Feat.
That's why it's called The Rock. Okay, I get it now.
Let's start the conversation about what these guys. And let's be clear. What is it that we're blaming here, right? Who's to blame for the actual prison escape?
Yes.
Right? So yes. Who let this happen? How did this happen?
There's so many people to blame here.
I like that. I feel like you've got some ideas.
Yeah, I got some ideas.
Okay. I think we can start off by blaming something that to me is the most obvious. The Alcatraz Music Hour.
Yes. Those accordions.
Yes. So what happened was they had recently implemented loosening of the stringent rules in Alcatraz. So this is 62, the year before it closes. And they had this Alcatraz, what they called the Alcatraz Music Hour, where they would, you know, play the accordions and other instruments. And it was really, really loud. And they believed that that was when the four inmates would do most of their drilling.
Yeah, of course. They're like drumming on things and they're just like, got a chisel and a hammer and they're just like, and everyone's like,
I don't know. How does an accordion
go? Who was playing the instrument?
Yeah, who had the accordion?
I thought it was like maybe a few select prisoners got to play for the rest.
Yeah, I think so. But then everyone was drumming though. You could drum.
I mean, what are we
doing
here?
And you could tap dance. You could tap dance
really?
On cement. It probably would not travel very far. Yeah, they were allowed to make so much noise.
We can put Alcatraz Music Hour because that is a big player. And someone I'm dying to put up on the board is this warden.
Oh my God, the warden.
So
this guy.
This guy, his name is Olin G. Blackwell.
Olin.
So Olin is the fourth and final warden of Alcatraz.
Mm-hmm.
So he shut that place down.
Yeah.
And at the time of the escape, this guy, Olin, was on vacation in Lake Berryessa in Napa County. And he didn't believe that the men could have survived the water. So he's just like, they're fine.
Whatever.
This guy, Blackwell, served in its most difficult time from 1961 to 1963. So 2 years.
That's it.
It was right when it was facing closure. And it was the prison was totally decaying, and it had.
So he didn't even care, really.
No, it just had like financial. It was like a lost cause, essentially.
Yeah, so he wasn't really like.
No, I believe in 1959 they were like, oh, let's make some repairs because the prison is like literally falling apart.
Well, yeah, and you're on an island. You know how much you have to repair boats?
Yeah,
you have a boat. All that salt. Damage
and also like how slow it must have gone.
Yeah,
and so I just remember that there were people who actually lived there.
Oh, it was families of some of the inmates.
It was no
right.
I thought it was families of the family guards,
sorry,
right?
That's what I meant. It wasn't like the Anglin brothers' mom. No, yeah, no. Family of the guards. That's what I meant.
Yeah, so imagine that was your life. In this cold concrete.
They don't have a 7-Eleven on that island, do they?
No, they don't have much.
May I ask how long of a boat ride it is from Alcatraz to San Francisco?
From what I recall, it was like a half hour boat ride.
Okay, so it's not.
It's kind of far. But you can see Alcatraz from.
From the bay, yeah. Yes, you can see it. It feels very close and yet so far.
Right, right.
15 minutes.
Okay, there you go.
Oh,
felt like a lifetime. I also have motion sickness, so.
Ooh, not good.
I was probably.
Just barfing the whole time. Yeah.
I try to stay like, you know how everyone gets on a boat and they're like, they go to the edges and they're like, ah! Yes. I'm like as close to the center. If I could be driving the boat, it would be best.
Yep. I gotta be in the passenger seat. If I'm in a car, I can't be in the back seat.
No, yeah. No. Do you also have motion sickness?
I started getting it recently.
Why is that?
I don't know. Like, I hate roller coasters now.
What? Me too. I wasn't like this always.
What is going on?
Do you guys take Dramamine or anything?
No, because it makes you so tired.
Yeah, I've never taken that.
I just powered through. And what was the effect?
I think it worked. I enjoy being tired, though.
Oh. I hate it. I like to party till I pass out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why you do so much cocaine.
No, guys, come on.
Just kidding.
We don't do cocaine.
We don't do cocaine here.
Come on.
Or do we?
No, we're a drug-free zone. There's too many risks. I've never done drugs because I have too much anxiety about taking drugs.
I've
never even smoked
downers.
Pot.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You
could run for president.
I think yes. No, I can't because I was born in Puerto Rico. Thank you for bringing it up.
That's a
Melissa.
U.S. territory.
Yeah, but that's the one thing you can't do is be president.
What the? Is that true?
Yeah, that's what I've been told all my life.
Damn.
By who?
Who's been telling you can't?
By white politicians?
But just remember, Rebecca, you can't run for president.
No, that's the whole thing. Where you're if you're born in Puerto Rico, you're a U.S. citizen, but you can't run for president. And now I'm like second guessing myself. But we digress. This warden.
This guy doesn't know what's going on.
I'll tell you what. He was probably doing drugs.
Oh my God. He was in Napa.
He was definitely drinking.
He was on a wine tour.
Yeah, exactly. He's like,
he was
in a limo. It's fine.
It's fine. Was it spitting out the wine?
But seriously, though, so he's got this prison. It's got financial problems. And I forgot what we were talking. Oh, 1959. They were going to do some repairs. And they were like, you know what? It's a lost cause. So they didn't. So then he comes in 61. It's, you know, it's a real shit show. You know, so when the escape happens, Blackwell was considered to have been the least strict warden in Alcatraz.
Clearly.
Perhaps in part due to having been a heavy drinker and a smoker. Nicknamed Gypsy is what I found online. This is according to Wikipedia. Nicknamed Gypsy and known as Blackie to his friends.
Okay.
I guess because of Blackwell.
Blackwell, yeah.
And he was said to have been an excellent marksman, so a good shooter.
Okay.
Who had earlier served as associate warden of Lewisburg Federal Penitentiary.
Okay.
Did I say that right again?
Penitentiary.
Penitentiary.
And you can run for president.
Are you sure about
that? I'm positive. Yeah, because you're a natural born U.S. citizen. Anyone born in Puerto Rico can relocate to any part of the U.S. freely and at will, in the same way that someone born in New York can move to Pennsylvania. So if you're born in Puerto Rico, you could, you know, move to Connecticut. Yeah. And therefore, it's like you're a natural born citizen.
Are we sure about that? Because you're telling me that my entire life, I didn't run for president because...
We gotta start now. You guys want to cancel this podcast?
Should I announce...
Get some fundraisers going?
The requirement is that you be born in a U.S. territory. The territory does not have to be a state.
Okay.
So, I think you're good to go. After we'll start your campaign after we wrap.
Well, wow. I mean, let's make this my official announcement.
Wow. I'll be your campaign manager.
Oh my God. Yeah. I love it. Maria, will you be vice?
Yeah. I'll be vice. Wow. Watch out though. I might come gunning for your position.
So,
oh boy! I'm the vice president you can't trust.
Oh no, Maria!
That's just who I am.
Can I retract my
no,
my offer?
No,
this is terrible. So this warden, come on, he's just a lax, lazy warden who's allowing all this music, all this slackativity.
Slackativity. Love it. Can I say something else about the warden?
Please.
When the two brothers were transferred from Kansas to Alcatraz, they were transferred because they attempted to escape prison. So they're like, right, we'll send them to Alcatraz. So they were sent together, placed in adjacent cells. The two brothers.
Why would you do that?
And it said specifically in their files, do not let these two be near each other because they will plot to escape. And so the warden just ignored that.
Or didn't read it,
yeah. So they were placed right across from each other.
Those kind of human errors that are based off of laziness are the most terrifying to me.
So that's a huge mistake on his part.
Yeah. Well, he's on the board.
He is on the board.
I want to put the guards up on the board as well.
Oh, sure.
Because... Behind every cell, just to give everyone a picture, was this like a common unguarded utility corridor.
Right, like none of the cells touch the outside walls, which is smart design.
Now, that's smart design, I guess, because of the plumbing, right?
Right.
Because you can't dig because it's rock.
Right.
So you have to put it in the walls.
Right.
But what that created was this shield for the and also ladder for them. They climbed up the pipe all the way up.
Oh, right.
So and they would practice this.
Yeah, they did it for months.
Yes. Like this obstacle course.
It was like they were on a I can't think of that dumb Nickelodeon show. Family
With the splat guts.
Global Guts. When they were climbing the aggro crag, which is made of rock.
So this is what's happening behind the cells, right? Inside the building. And they also set up this like secret workshop.
Yeah.
Where they were building this raft all night long.
Oh, God.
And I believe sometimes during the day. It was like this area that wasn't used. And one of them, I think it was the fourth inmate who didn't escape, who we'll get to in a second. He convinced the guards that they should put up a curtain to while he was working up there.
I just read about this.
Okay, so he gets sent up there to like for cleaning duties or something. He's painting something. I don't know. While he's up there, he like brushed off of the side and some like dust fell on the ground.
That's
and they're like,
what he did.
And they're like, oh, it's dusty. You know, it's too messy. Stop doing that. And he's like, well, here's a good solution. If we put a curtain,
put up a sheet covering the whole area,
then you guys won't get dust. And they're like, you know what? Yes.
Everyone is just dumb. Everyone is so dumb.
What? So they allowed this.
Yeah.
The guards allowed this. And on top of that, what they used to construct the raft and the safety
life preservers
were
50 raincoats, like more than 50 raincoats. Yes. And they were all stolen and gathered from around.
Yeah.
And that was to me like, how did they have so many raincoats? But it makes sense.
Well, yeah, it's rainy.
It's rainy. And apparently, per some prisoner interview in a book called Al Capone Does My Shirts, which is actually a fictional book, but they do interviews with real people who lived in Alcatraz. Okay. If you wanted something contraband, you could get it. Raincoats were common on the rock, even on the... This is PBS now. Raincoats were common on the rock, even on sunny days. The joke on Alcatraz was that the birds were better shots than the guards, and the inmates would sometimes wear their olive green and rubberized raincoats out in the yard, take it off, and just have someone else pick it up.
Huh.
So these guys were literally, like, scouring the outdoor, like, hangout section.
Right. The yard.
Outdoor, it's called the prison section. Yard. That's right.
You mean a yard.
Yeah. No, that's accurate. And they were just, you know, like if you took your coat out, they just like swoop in and just take it. Of course, they're, you know, these two guys were known for robberies.
Well, yeah.
They had skills, mad skills.
Also, they had a popular mechanics magazine.
Yes,
they allowed. Yes! They requested. Who was it? Frank, I think. Frank Morris. He requested. You can request like reading materials. He's like, oh, popular mechanics, and there was an article in there on how to build a fucking life preserver. And normally the prison guards, they like clip out things that could be used. Like,
right. Like how to build a bomb, like how to
escape a prison or whatever. And they just didn't think to take that out.
Lazy. They probably didn't even read it.
No. So he got the idea, like, oh, I'll use all these life jackets to build this raft because of Popular Mechanics magazine.
Should we blame Popular Mechanics magazine? Without it, they probably couldn't have done it.
Maybe.
Why are they? I
think that falls under the prison guards. Are they the ones who allow them
it's
to?
True. They should have cut the magazine article out.
What are you doing?
Okay, so let's put the prison guards up because that's just crazy. Yeah. Oh, they're up. I can't see the board. It's behind me, guys. That's why I always should sit on the other side, but I always forget. I'm the opposite of feng shui. I like to have my back against the wall.
Your like, house is just everything just doesn't make sense.
Yes. Why? Because I don't trust, and you want to keep people on their toes.
I get it.
It's not intuitive.
No, it's not.
If you come to my house and you know exactly where my forks are, I'm like, you've been here at night before. You've been creepy crawling. So we've got the guards up. Great. And the materials that we're used to, like, that's just a strike against the guards because, like, they also stole glue from the glove shop. So
they had soap.
They had everything.
To make their little dummy heads.
Yeah.
Which are surprisingly really nice.
They're very good. If you go online and you Google the dummy heads, they used real hair from the
barbershop. Yeah, they just saved hair over time.
Well, because some of the prisoners were assigned like duties, right?
Right.
And they were either in the laundry, in the tailor shop, the cobbler shop, the model shop. I don't know what that is. And the gardening.
That's where all the hot models are.
Yeah. The model. That's where they took the photos. Modeling.
The photo studio.
And the gardening and labor.
So they had all sorts of tools. They had, you know, these four guys.
He had a vacuum cleaner. That was one of the drills.
Why do you? Oh, right.
Yeah. So it was a free for all. This prison.
Were they even in cells? Like they were just roaming around?
They were, and they all had private cells. That was
that made it
very expensive.
Oh, okay.
I guess at the time it was like for every prisoner, it was like $10 a month or something or $10. I don't think it's $10 a day. That seems crazy. I wrote that down somewhere. Oh, okay, here it is. And nearly $10 per prisoner per day.
Yeah.
It's 1963. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, well, there's food and you got to pay the guards.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. It's expensive.
As opposed to $3 a day in Atlanta.
Oh.
Everything's cheaper in Atlanta, as we know, in the entertainment business.
San Francisco is the most expensive city.
Yeah. Although I don't think it was the most expensive city at the time.
Was it because it was an island? And so
you got to transport.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I mean, everything's more expensive on an island. Yeah.
A lot of boat fees.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Okay, so far what we have is the Alcatraz Music Hour, the warden, Blackwell, and the prison guards, just in general. Now, I want to talk about whoever refortified this Alcatraz.
I was going to say whoever built.
Yes.
And designed and whatever materials they used.
Yes.
We're poor.
It was just a bad idea.
Yeah.
It was a bad idea. I mean, it was a good idea in concept, but then they didn't take it any further. Again, laziness.
It's all laziness.
We need to put human laziness up on the board.
This is the laziest prison.
I mean, okay, so it's a small island with facilities for a lighthouse, a military fortification, a military prison, and then later a federal prison. Because of its isolation from the outside by the cold, strong, tremendous currents of the waters of San Francisco Bay, Alcatraz was used to house soldiers who were guilty of crimes. Oh, so this was when it was used as military prison.
Right.
As early as 1859. By 1861, the fort was the military prison for the Department of the Pacific and housed Civil War prisoners as early as that year. Okay, so the island becomes a federal prison in August of 1934, and Alcatraz was designed to hold prisoners who continuously caused trouble, as we know. A $260,000 fund was spent trying to modernize and improve it.
That doesn't seem like a lot of money.
Well back this then, is in 1934.
Yeah, that is a lot what of money.
Is there a way to find out how much 260,000, like what's the equivalent?
Yeah.
Right now?
That's probably maybe like a mil? I'm going to say 2 million.
Two mil?
Yeah, so whoever built the prison I mean, it's in theory, it's a great idea because the cells yes. don't touch the outside walls. You got to dig through two things to get through. But where they were digging through, all the pipes were.
Right.
How much is it, Maria?
Adjusted for inflation, $260,000 in 1934 is equal to $4,000,000.
Holy!
$948,528.
Holy smokes!
That's plenty of money.
Okay, that's plenty of money.
To refurbish this prison.
And this is the problem. So the building structural deterioration from exposure to salt spray.
Yes.
So that was the big problem. Yeah. Because of that, because it was... just, you know, it had salt water saturation. It was going to need $5 million to fix it.
Yeah.
After. So this was in 1959 when they were like, let's do some repairs. I'm sorry, it was in 1958. Major repairs began. But in 61, the engineers evaluated the prison and said it was a lost cause.
Well, at this point, they haven't been keeping it up.
No, it's a half century of salt water saturation.
Yeah.
And the building's eroding.
Yes.
So what happened, and this is important, so the salt water saturation caused the cement walls inside the prison to actually crumble, easier.
Well, there you go. You can dig it out with a spoon. And that's what they were using. It was just like sand at that point.
Yeah. That's why it was so easy. Yeah. Plus, you've got the music hour.
Yep.
So you can dig freely.
Yep. And on the roof, I believe there was supposed to be a tower, like a gun tower.
Right.
But there was
no one was ever there.
No one was there.
I believe so. They just like, I believe that they kept the raft up there and just like put a sheet over it.
Because no one ever went up there.
It's
just
crazy.
Like all these like escape materials up there.
So do you feel like we should put the ocean?
The ocean, yes, salt.
Or is it the plant, like poor future planning on whoever's...
Yeah,
like
the designer, architect. The architect.
Or not even the architect, but like the... Who decided that it's a good idea to have a prison on an island in the middle?
Whose idea was that? Who invented Alcatraz?
Well, if you think about it, I guess it's multiple people's idea. Because it was like 1850s, they were like, that's a good idea for a military prison.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it's like the changeover when it goes from a military prison, right? Where it's mm-hmm. like, because you're assuming it's a transitional place.
Right.
Versus when they decide to make it a federal prison mm-hmm. for the worst. Mm-hmm. It's so like brazen. It's so like cocky too, to be like, this is in an inescapable prison.
Yep.
The head of the Department of Justice, which is the Attorney General who was in charge at the time when it got transferred over, was under FDR, under Homer Still Cummings. So he was the Attorney General in 1933.
So he approved it.
I'm assuming.
But who's the architect that was like, I can do this? Cummings, or what's his name?
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Who's the guy who's like, you got it, sir. I will do it for you.
Aye, aye, sir. We will build an inescapable prison.
And then just did a shitty job.
Yeah.
You mean back like in 1800s?
Well, when it was repurposed for a...
I don't know. I might have to get in contact with the San Francisco
city planners.
We're going to have to call FBI.gov.
Yeah.
But okay, so you want me to put up like refurbisher or architect?
It was the refurbisher in the prison with the spoon.
Yes, let's put the refurbisher up on the board. I feel good about that. Please also put the salt water.
Salt in general.
Salt. Now, let's talk about this guy, Alan Clayton West. He's the fourth inmate, the guy who didn't make it out.
This dummy. He's dumb.
He claims that he was the mastermind.
Well, sure.
I mean, after the fact, right?
He was. He didn't have a 133 IQ like Frank Morris.
He did not. So, you know, again, we have to remember these people, like, it's the... you know, 50s, they were probably just trying to get, I don't know if they were trying to get by. I don't know why I'm like backing this guy up. I have no idea who he is.
I mean, they were all criminals.
Yeah.
They all did something terrible in their lives.
So he gets sent to Alcatraz in 57 because of an unsuccessful escape attempt from a Florida facility.
Okay.
But they all four guys know each other from a prison in Atlanta.
Oh, and they're all like near each other.
And they're all near each other. But West is there before all of them.
Okay.
So West says that he's the actual conspirator. And he wasn't able to escape with them because he couldn't get his ventilator grill unstuck to leave his cell in time.
Yeah, because they used, like, they covered up the cell, the hole every night.
Yeah.
And he put his back to cover it up and, like, it stuck.
Well, because it was falling off and so he used a little glue.
Oh, come on. You can't. And then it got
stuck. I mean, it was a lose-lose scenario for him because it was either get caught. If it fell, he was going to get caught.
Right.
Or glue it and pray. So he just didn't make it out in time and they had to leave him. And he says that he was the guy with the idea because he began collecting several old saw blades and he had found them in the utility corridors.
Okay. While cleaning.
So, yes, he's the guy who was the cleaner. He's the guy who had the idea to put up the sheet and for them to work there at
night. That is pretty smart, actually.
So, look, he doesn't have a 133 IQ,
but he knows what's going on.
But he's got street smarts.
Yeah, he's smart.
And let's be honest, I'm nowhere near a 133.
But I'm probably like a 60 IQ. I don't know.
When do they test you for your IQ? When you're a kid?
I've never been tested.
Okay, well, we have to go on testyoiq.com.
We gotta do those online ones. Yeah.
It's not gonna be good for like in
that,
me.
That
at
Seinfeld
least.
Episode where George takes the IQ test, but he gives it to Elaine
to
take it, and then
that's a bummer.
You guys remember that episode?
No, I didn't watch that one. So. Is it possible for us to put Alan Clayton West up on the board?
As responsible for...
For how this happened and the disaster that it ended up being. Like, maybe if he was there?
Yeah, I wonder if he was not participating, if this would have never happened.
And also, if he had joined them, maybe it would have been a different story. But then that brings into question, like... Did they make it? Did they?
Yeah, they're alive and well in Brazil. You guys didn't know that?
I knew you would think that.
Of course they're alive.
You think that?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Really?
I think they died. Yeah.
Well, they found the raft.
I know.
On the shore.
Well, but they also found like the photos and all the stuff that they had taken with them.
You know, when you're getting out of a raft, things fall out of your pocket. Some people think they found footprints and there was a car missing.
It's possible that they like ditched the raft and just swam to shore.
Yeah. Also, a tide expert said that at the time they escaped, the tide was very low and that would have been possible for them to swim across.
I mean, all of those things are...
And I trust tide experts.
I also watched a documentary on PBS where they reconstructed the boat.
Sure.
And they timed it out when the tide would have been similar. And they had these three guys get on the boat and attempt it. And they did not make it. The whole thing was that they had to... First of all, they didn't go to the place where people thought. I'm forgetting the name of what is commonly known as the spot where people thought they landed. Mm-hmm. But it was actually a different cove
that
they actually went to because the tide would have taken them that way.
Right.
And the whole idea is that if they had gone past the Golden Gate Bridge underneath it, they would have been like spit out into the ocean and they were doomed.
Yeah, you're doomed.
But if they paddled, before they passed the Golden Gate Bridge, if they paddled to that shore, there's like a little cove area, then they would have, it's possible that they made it. But
it's probable that they made it.
These guys who did it, they failed.
No.
Yes, they did. It's unfortunate. And finally, we can put... The most obvious thing we should put, which should have been the first one, is Sir Frank Morris and the actual Anglin brothers.
Well, yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, they actually
did it.
Wouldn't it have happened without them? I mean, these guys had the skills. Like you said, the brothers were constantly escaping prison.
Yeah, they were just put together. That might have been the point where they stopped housing people who know each other in prisons. Like, they don't do that anymore, right? I feel like they put people in separate prisons. Like, if two sisters
go to prison,
they always split them up.
That's logical.
But they move, people around different prisons.
Also, because the point of prison, I don't want to even go there, but a part of it is, you know, being separated from your family.
Right.
Right. So if you have your brother there, then it's just like you guys are now hanging out in a new location.
Uh-huh. You're just hanging out, playing the accordion.
So we're putting those guys up on the board. Morris was also like an expert at escaping prison. It's what they called shotgun freedom. He had a pattern of escape attempts termed as shotgun freedom, although he never used a shotgun. But that's what led him to the Rock.
And he was basically called an escape artist. Like that. Oh. That's what was written on his file. He's just like a bank robber and escape artist.
Okay. So, yeah. All right. So there. Now, a few other things that we can discuss before we start getting down to who's to blame. We can definitely talk about the prison system, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why was it so terrible that they wanted to escape?
Well, I did read that a prisoner from like 1930 went crazy and chopped off his own hand because he was like, he was in solitary or something.
Oh.
Like people were just going crazy there.
So maybe we do put, let's put the Alcatraz federal prison.
Yeah. Also, have you seen Escape from Dannemora?
No.
The show on Netflix where it's based on a true story.
Oh, no.
Where the woman in the shop helped them escape. So maybe there was someone working in a shop in Alcatraz that we don't know about because they successfully helped them escape.
On the inside.
Yeah, it was played by Patricia Arquette. She was the woman in the shop who was giving them tools, giving them like all sorts of things to help them escape.
And if it happens in TV,
it could happen
in real life.
So maybe there's someone that we don't know about that was on the inside. Or I heard that there were people sending bribes.
Bribes?
Like outside people, like family of inmates sending bribes to the prison guards.
That I believe.
Of course, yeah, that was probably
happening. That had to be happening.
Yeah.
Look, we can throw it up. A secret insider.
A mole.
Let's put the mole up.
The mole. Remember that TV show, The Mole?
Yeah, no.
From the Maria does.
Now, of course, we don't know if they lived or died. We have theories.
There was a letter sent to the FBI back in like 2008 that was like, my uncle was John Anglin. He survived. Here's a picture of him.
Oh. So is that the same letter where the guy, it was a letter written by someone who said that I'm sick and I have cancer?
Yeah, that's a different letter. Yes.
Different letter.
Yes.
Different letter. Yes. Saying that if I'll do 1 year, but then let me go.
Yes.
To me, sounds like a reasonable request.
Yeah. I think that was him. And there's like photos that people have that they're claiming that they're family members. They're like, no, they're alive and well. They're in Brazil.
Also, the mom, the brother's mom, received on Mother's Day flowers every single Mother's Day.
Are you serious?
Yes, from an unknown person, and some of them were signed by the brothers. Now, again, all of these things, it was a heavily publicized escape, so it's possible that, you know, people were pranking or, you know, hoaxing.
I mean, that's a weird prank.
It's a very mean prank.
I guess if like someone was sending me flowers and was like, "Oh, I'm your cat that went missing 10 years ago." I'd be mad.
But another thing that I read online that it was one of this, you know, they speculated was that at the brother's funeral, there were two like weirdly dressed women who the family didn't know who went.
Oh.
And there's also another account of two men that no one knew crying heavily in front of the body and then leaving.
Oh, yep. I read that too. Did you read that? It's them.
I don't know. I really do think they're dead. I do think they're dead. Because there just would be more...
Well, how old were they in 1960? Were they in their 30s?
Yeah, there was 36 and 31 and 32.
Hey, if you're out there listening, give us a shout out. Let us know if you're still alive.
What a good idea.
Yeah.
Seriously.
John, Clarence, Frank.
This is the kind of thing that will keep me up at night, you know?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But that's why I think I need to tell myself that they died.
Oh, but that's not fun. They weren't murderers. They were bank robbers.
No, I
know.
So
I'm like, I hope they kind of escaped.
I do hope they escaped. I really do hope. In my daydreams, in my daydreams, I'll wish for their escape. And in my night dreams,
I'll hope they died.
I need 8 hours, baby. Yeah. I need 8 hours. Okay, so let's start crossing people off the list.
Okay.
And for our listeners, Melissa, why don't you tell them who we have up on the board?
We've got the Alcatraz Music Hour. We've got the dumbass warden, Olin G. Blackwell. Mm-hmm. We've got the prison guards. Mm-hmm. We've got human laziness in general. The federal prison system. The refurbisher. Oh, the building. The building refurbisher. Salt. Alan Clayton West, the fourth guy.
Frank Morris and the Anglin brothers.
And then the mole.
The secret mole that Melissa suspects.
On CBS.
Now, if I is Maria, so I found this document. It's a history of Alcatraz between 1847 and 1972, the historic resource study. And basically, it's talking about how all the changes that the prison went through all its things. And it's got like all of the documents of people saying you should, like in 1933, Robert C. Bunge was a consulting engineer and he completed his report for the Prison Equipment Research Bureau in November 1933. So this was as it was changing over to become a prison. And so in his report, he's got all of these modifications that need to be done. And they're just like one after the other. It's like reinforcing these walls, replace these doorways, things prisoners can, like, if you don't do this, prisoners are going to be able to do this. Now, I just found this, so I don't know if all of these were taken into account.
Wow. Right.
And then they were giving all the security measures that would have to be done. I did see that one of the security measures was like to put, like electric wire around, and they were like, oh, we don't have money for that, we'll just have dogs. So I did see
dogs.
That so I mean, I don't know, I'd have to do more research into this, but this just goes with kind of that refurbishment,
right?
Like the, and I wonder if there's a better way to say that,
right?
Of like
the building upkeeper.
Yeah, like the bit, like the
whoever signed off on the contract, whoever got the contractor.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
who
like in charge of signing those bills?
Right.
Maybe you were. Your instinct was right to put the attorney general.
Right, because they would. If it was a federal prison, it would have to go through.
Yeah, yeah. The attorney general in 1933, he even selected James Johnston, the warden before Blackwell. So he appointed him.
Okay, so let's put that guy.
Wait, maybe it was an inside job. Wait a minute. Also, I read that they only had the ratio of guards to prisoners was only 1-3. Apparently that was low.
There were only 1,500 something prisoners who went there the whole time. I think that it was in the hundreds, usually.
Wow.
I think the least it ever was like 2 something, and the most was 300 something.
Wow.
So it wasn't a lot. There weren't a lot of prisoners.
Yeah, there's only 4 cells.
Yeah.
Cell block D, the haunted one.
What's that from?
Yeah.
It's haunted.
What's cell? Oh, it is.
Oh,
oh! I thought that was like.
Tell us about this ghost.
Well, there's
a lot
of ghosts.
On cell block D,
there's these tourists went to visit Alcatraz and they took a picture of a ghost inside the cell.
Now, someone online tweeted at us and said that we should blame the ghosts.
Yes. Well, so, yeah, maybe the ghost lulled the prison guards to sleep.
And maybe the ghosts were tormenting the prisoners so much that they felt like they had to go.
I gotta get out of here. That's why that guy cut off his hand.
Oh my God.
He cut off his hand, and then he asked someone else to cut off his other hand.
That's why he cut off his hand? Because of the ghost?
Well, I don't want to say, but probably, allegedly.
Okay, I'm. Let's add the ghost. The ghost made them last minute. Yeah, a last minute throw
there
on the board.
There's so many ghosts in Alcatraz. There was one that like plays a, maybe it's not a banjo, mandolin.
Maybe that's why I was so freaked out when I went.
In this document I'm reading, it's saying that Blackwell blamed the escape.
Uh-huh.
On the fact that the prison building was suffering from erosion and debilitation. Just a year before, an engineer survey had disclosed that the buildings were dangerously deteriorating.
Oh, so they didn't even tell the warden?
No, the warden knew, but I don't know what can the warden do.
Not much.
But at that point, did he know that it was closing?
No, he didn't know. It closed in 63.
So after the escape, Blackwell says, from then on, there would be more frequent and more thorough inspection of the cells, and that the prisoners' cell assignments would be rotated. Mayor George Christopher decided that San Francisco had had enough of the penitentiary. He wanted the prison closed. Okay. So this is insight into that Blackwell knew of the deterioration.
Uh-huh. He wasn't rotating the prisoners around either.
That is so lazy. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, and you can't, like, when the prison guards had to inspect him, they didn't see that there was like an outline of a hole.
It's just poorly run, and it looks like it had been poorly run for years now.
Yeah.
So it's almost like he's not only to blame for that, but perhaps all of the wardens.
All the wardens before him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably wasn't his fault. He
could have made some changes, though.
Yeah, he got there and he was like, guys, this place is falling apart. Prison, people are going to escape. I'm going to go to Napa.
What is he doing going to Napa?
No. Okay. On vacation.
Well, okay. This is going to be a tough one. So let's start crossing people off the list. And again, just reminding, we're blaming for the disaster. How could this have happened?
How did it happen?
How did it happen? Now, and we do want to put ghosts up on the board. So that's been added to the list.
Yeah, ghosts. Very important.
Oh, it's right there. Jesus. I swear I can read. Off the bat, is there something you just feel like, okay, let's take it out? This is not good.
I'm going to take out the federal prison system.
Okay.
It was specifically what was happening at Alcatraz, I think.
I agree with you.
There are prisons that people can't escape.
I'm not saying that the federal prison system isn't to blame for a lot of things.
Oh, it's awful.
But for this particular one, I think...
We can... Yes, yeah, for this
it's,
one.
It's not there. I also think we can take off the mole, the inside mole.
Oh, man.
The inside hypothetical mole.
That one hurts me. I want there to be a mole. If I was ever, I could never work in any sort of like government position because I would be a mole. I'd be a whistleblower.
I think you're exactly the kind of person we need.
Oh, I would spill so many secrets. Don't trust me with anything.
All right. So I'm really sorry, Melissa, but I think we're taking the mole off.
Okay, fine. You know what?
I know. It's okay. Hard.
Whatever.
Now,
I think we could take off. This is going to be controversial.
Okay.
I think we can take off the prison guards.
Wow.
Before ghosts.
Yeah, Maria.
And please explain why.
It's either the prison guards or the warden. We have to take off one of those.
Well, I feel very strongly about the warden. What we could do is clump them together.
Yeah.
Because one doesn't go without the other.
That's true.
So, like, they're just following orders from the warden, but also the warden needs them to do their job, which they're not really doing very well.
Okay, yes.
So we're clumping, just for everyone out there, we're clumping the warden and the prison guards together. That's okay. Now, okay. We're going to call it the prison employees.
Prison workers. Let's take off Alan Clayton West. Because, like, if, you know, I think Frank Morris with a 133 IQ could have figured out that they needed to also hang a sheet up there.
Yeah. But I do think that Alan seems a little scrappy to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it can't all just be brains. Sometimes you need a little bit of scrap. But I will say that I do think that England, the England brothers and Morris were experienced escape artists.
They were, for sure.
So I think they would have found a way with or without Mr. West.
Yeah.
So let's take West off the list. And I think that we can also take the music hour off the list.
Yep, I think so too.
I think it helped. It couldn't have happened without the music hour, but the music hour was assigned by the warden.
Right. Yeah, so that's the warden's problem.
Exactly. So now we have the prison workers. We have human laziness, ghost, the refurbisher, which is actually now... We're taking the refurbisher off the list because we're placing it more on the attorney general.
So yeah, I think it's the Department of Justice. I think that might be the better way because I think they're in control.
Okay. So,
and I would say maybe take off salt because although the erosion did help, I feel like it just probably sped up.
That's right.
I feel like they would have eventually. Yeah, they would have eventually. It might have took them longer.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I think we can take salt off and it's been there long enough. Ghost is still up there. I just want to point out.
The ghost made them go crazy.
I can't take the ghost off right now. So the last, we have five things up on the board. We have the prison workers, human laziness, ghost, the escapees.
And Department of Justice.
And the Department of Justice.
Oh.
Now, I think we can finally take ghosts off.
Okay, fine. You know, but I don't think
they're not part of the problem.
They're not.
They're not problem. Not. I think you're absolutely correct.
But they're not the main
problem. They're not the main problem and it's
they're
hard.
A big part of it.
It's just going to be really hard to prove that
okay. one. Okay. Yeah, so. Yeah, we need physical evidence and you know what?
It can be done. It can be done. And now I want to say that I want to take the England brothers and Frank Morris off.
You know what? I agree.
Here's why. I think that if it wasn't them, it could have been someone else.
Yep.
Because they weren't the first.
There were attempted escapes. Many.
Yes. And I will give them this. They were very thought out in the way they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And patient. I mean, God bless their patience.
Yeah, I would have. How do you dig a hole with a spoon for 6 months? I can't do it.
No. But I do think that it would have been someone else. And there were others.
Yep.
Okay. So right now we've got the prison workers, human laziness, Department of Justice. And this is where it gets really hard.
Yeah, because these all kind of go together. Like laziness goes with the Department of Justice for not like checking the work, double checking everything.
And then the prison workers were just...
Not enforcing anything.
No. Now, it couldn't have happened if they didn't have access to all of the supplies.
Correct.
So, I think that human laziness is what's driving the prison workers to not do their job correctly.
Yes.
So, and the Department of Justice, well, so I almost think let's take the prison workers off.
What? I agree.
Oh my God.
I agree.
What are you talking about? You?
It's bigger than the prison workers, Maria.
It's an epidemic. It's an actual epidemic.
It's not them. They are a product of the laziness.
And it's a culture of laziness.
Culture of laziness.
But they're the ones that are there. I mean, if you want like the Department of Justice, yes, I get it. They're the top of the food chain, but it's like, they're the ones that are actually there every day. The warden and
they
the prison
are,
guards.
But this culture of laziness is now easily to in court. What do you say? It's when you can get it quickly, like the flu or like, you know, like
viral.
A bummer.
It's contagious. It's contagious.
Yeah, it is.
And it's something that needs to be nipped in the bud.
I think it stemmed from the Department of Justice and just kind of trickled down into everyone not checking everyone else, not checking everyone else's work.
That's true. So you're saying that it really falls more towards the Department of Justice?
Actually, yeah. I think it does. They were not making sure that the prison guards and the warden were doing that. Well, the warden's job was to...
But they are hiring people to do that, right? So as the top of the food chain, you have to hire... You have to trust your employees.
Yeah, and they were just hiring people willy-nilly. Fucking Olin just rolls in and is like, I'll be the warden.
So you think that they made some bad choices in the people that they hired, which is actually true.
Yeah.
They did do some bad choices.
From laziness.
From laziness. Okay, so let's take the prison workers off, Maria.
Wow.
I know. She's upset.
I am shocked up because yesterday when I was reading it, I was like, oh, this warden, his fault. For sure. And now my
you
whole
see,
life
this
has changed.
Is what happens. It's
my whole
tried
life
and true.
Has changed.
Wow. So what are we going to do? Human laziness or Department of Justice?
Oh. What came first? Laziness or the Department of Justice?
The age-old question.
And I should say it's culture of laziness
culture
and the Department
of laziness.
Justice. So
I feel like people were less lazy back in the 60s.
Uh-huh. So the laziness was really more of an epidemic at Alcatraz, whereas at the Department of Justice, maybe they just were making bad choices. And as leaders, it's all about the choices and it's all about the people you employ, right?
Or shortcuts, saving money,
cutting
corners.
Oh, my God.
Not giving
really
them enough of a budget to do the repairs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Letting things fall through the cracks.
Yep.
Literally.
Letting people fall through the cracks.
Literally. I think my decision has been made.
Ghosts. Salt. Salty ghosts.
Department
of Justice?
I think it's the Department of Justice.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's settled. Department of Justice, you're going to the alarmist jail.
You're going down.
How do you feel?
I feel relieved.
Uh-huh.
I feel, you know, I had a completely different opinion before I came here.
Uh-huh.
And my whole life has been changed. And you know what? The Department of Justice.
Wow, Melissa.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
You know what?
No.
I'm never running for president.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I can, though. This podcast.
This is going to come
been
up
life-changing.
In like 20 years.
You know what's going to be hard is now living our life now that the Department of Justice is in jail. So
oh my God.
But wow. You know what? Our that's not our problem.
No.
You know, we are here to blame and we're here to put the people that deserve to be put in the alarmist jail in jail.
I'm just living my life, you know.
Exactly.
Taking it day by day.
Thank you so much, Melissa, for going on this journey with me.
It's great to be here.
And people, check out Web Crawlers.
Yeah.
You're gonna really enjoy it.
Yes, you will.
All right. See you next time.
Bye.
After the jailbreak. According to FBI.gov, what happened next remains a mystery. Did they make it across the bay? Did they get to Angel Island and then cross Raccoon Strait into Marin County as planned? Or did the wind and waves get the better of them? Plenty of people have gone to great lengths to prove that the men could have survived. But the question remains, did they? For the 17 years that the FBI worked on the case, no credible evidence emerged to suggest the men were still alive, either in the U.S. or overseas. The FBI officially closed their case on December 31st, 1979, and turned over responsibility to the U.S. Marshals Service, which continues to investigate in the unlikely event that the trio is still alive. The case file of the U.S. Marshals Service remains open and active. Morris and the Anglin brothers are still included in its wanted list. Vote for who you think is to blame by going to our website, www.thealarmistpodcast.com, and let us know your thoughts. Also, follow us on Instagram, @thealarmistpodcast, and on Twitter, @alarmistthe. And feel free to email us with your thoughts and your comments and all of your feelings at thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. See you next time.
Earios. powered by ACAST.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.